So I want to today share this a message on building a rock solid life. A rock solid life. You know, I don't think there's much question about a good foundation there. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But building a rock solid life. You know, all of us want a solid life, don't we? We all do. We want a solid life. But you know, solid life, it doesn't just happen. You know, you have an active part to play in that. And I'm going to tell you something. God will not force you into a place of stability. Do you know that? He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit has never forced you to do anything. He's never forced me to do anything. What he does, he comes up to us and he lovingly says, hey, here's my best offer. That's what it actually means when it talks about when God offers something. In the Greek, it means he gives us his best offer. There's a lot of offers out there, but his is always the best one. And so he gives us his best offer. Hey, here you go. I have this for you. Do you want it? And it's like, and you're like, yeah. And then we choose. We always have the power of choice. So even regarding a solid, stable life, we have a choice in that. And we have to quickly partner with the Lord and go where he wants us to go and do what he shares and just spend time with him. And he'll see that we have that. But very much like this picture here, you know, to build a solid house, which a house represents your life. Okay, so that's what throughout this teaching, when I'm talking about a house, it represents your life. And often if you dream about a house, that's your life as well. So just so you know, often, I'm not saying every dream is of God, but if you have one, you believe it's of the Lord. If you see a house in there, that's normally your life. So keep that in mind. So anyway, is to build a solid life like this house, you have to have a solid foundation, don't you? You have to. It doesn't matter what you do up here if this isn't solid. You know, because this is going to start cracking and coming apart, and eventually it's just going to crumble. Yeah. The foundation is the most important part, but then after the foundation is solid and right, then the construction will stand. What you build will last. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-part thing. So in the same way as this picture, very, very much, when we want to build a solid life, we have to have a solid foundation. In church, there's only one unshakable, solid foundation that anybody can build their life on. And that foundation's name is Jesus. He's the only one. There is no other foundation that is solid and unchanging. Not one. And that's very much why the Bible says in Isaiah 28:16, it says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. Do you know it's safe to build on Jesus? It's safe. It's not safe to build on every foundation, but it's safe to build on Jesus. It's safe. Amen. But see, he is the foundation stone. But also I want to touch on, he's a firm stone and a tested stone. See, that's another reason that it's safe to build on Jesus, to build your life on him. Because he's firm and he's safe. He's firm and he's tested. So whenever we talk about firm and tested, okay, Jesus is firm because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, you can build your life on that, can't you? See, that foundation will never change. It'll never move. It'll never crack. It doesn't matter what happens. That foundation will always be solid and strong. Jesus doesn't change. He's eternal. He's eternal. And that's a big deal. But not only is he eternal, because that's the firm part. In other words, he doesn't change. So you need a firm foundation, but also you need a tested foundation. You need something that's been tested over time. And that's very much why the Lord says in Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted. He has been tested in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus is the only firm foundation. Guess what? Because he has been through everything you will ever go through. And he did it in victory. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? Yeah. He's firm because he doesn't change. And he's proven and tested because he went through everything that we went through or ever will go through. And he passed with full flying colors. Right. We can build on that, can't we?
Yes, yes.
Amen. We're talking about the foundation. Jesus I think I was 20 years old when I trusted Christ. Yeah, I think I was 20. And, you know, after I became a Christian, I was in shock that I actually made it as long as I did without him. Uh-huh. You know, because you just don't know. You know, you're kind of in the dark and you're like, you know, you just kind of like, everything's great. Oh, woo, yeah. And then you meet Jesus like, whoa, everything was not great. My gosh. And then you just give him praise for keeping everything glued together till you can get to the cross.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. Praise God. You know? But I like how David says, truly is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. David, the man after God's own heart. And you can see, even right here, truly, that is from experience. That isn't the first time you meet somebody. Truly. In other words, I know from experience. I have proven him. He is my rock. He is my salvation. David knew, he knew Jesus. He knew the Lord. And the thing is, he also knew from experience that no matter how nasty or how much the pressure got turned up, he would never be shaken as long as he stayed focused on the Lord.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's my foundation. I hope it's yours today.
Amen.
Amen. And if all this is interesting and you want to know more about Jesus, please connect with me or Cheryl after the service. We're going to have a lunch. We're not going to hold up your meal, but this is more important. We'll talk for a few minutes. We can talk, visit about the Lord. If you don't know him, we can pray together. You know, if you just have some questions about Jesus, please connect with me or Cheryl, or maybe I'll have a couple other people available as well. But we want to talk to you about the Lord so you can get the foundation solid if you haven't taken care of that yet. You know, when we trust Jesus as Savior, at that instant, as soon as we say, Lord, I believe in what you did, what you paid for me, and Lord, I yield to your Lordship and I ask you to come into my life and save me. At that moment, guess what? You just said, onto the foundation. I mean, you went from whatever you were on to the rock in that instant. It doesn't take time. The faster you finish the prayer, you're there. You don't have to work on it. He worked on it. You arrived. Amen. So, but you know, that's really when the construction, the building process intensifies, isn't it? When we trust Christ, that's when everything in our life just, it gets real, you know? Before, we're just kind of doing the best we can, hoping things work out. But then when you start walking with the Lord and you're on that foundation, he starts ordering our steps and starts working our life. The materials become more visible, don't they? What we're built out of, what we're made of. And that's when the construction intensifies. So let's talk a little bit about construction now. A little bit about the materials. This is Matthew 7:24-27. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to their life can be compared to a wise man or a woman who built their house on an unshakable foundation. Remember, we talked about the foundation. In verse 25, it says, when the rains fail, I love this, not if. Church, you notice that? There's no if in there. So as much as we don't like it, none of us are exempt. So when the rains fell and the flood came, with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. In verse 26 and 27, it's going to give us another picture. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to their life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When it rained and rained and the flood came, the wind and waves beating upon the house, it collapsed and was swept away. Remember, these houses are lives. This is two lives. This is a person who applies the teaching beginning with trusting Jesus as Savior. Okay, that's whenever the foundation, because it talks about the foundation here. They're built on an unshakable foundation, which means they heard his teaching, they applied it to their life, they trusted Jesus as Lord. Then they started studying the Scripture, they started walking with God, they started applying the revelation. If God's placed something in your heart when you're in prayer, pray it, consider it. Consider it and implement it wherever appropriate. You know, whenever God reveals something in your life that needs to be changed, change it. You know, we're going to talk more about what that looks like shortly. But that's what we're building on, that foundation. You know, with every moment that we deal with something, every moment that we get a victory, every time God comes through, every time we see something negative in our life and we choose to partner with Jesus in there and get rid of it, we're building. We're building. And we're building on that foundation. And we really need to be proactive builders, just like Jesus, because when the rains come, when the flood comes, when the fierce winds come and beat upon the house. Remember, the house is your life. That's what's represented here, your life. So let's read. We're going to read 25 again. When the rains fell and the flood came, with fierce winds beating upon our lives, we stand firm because of our strong foundation. Yes. Amen. That's right. That's what it's saying. Praise God. But you know, without the foundation, this other stuff would just sweep us away. There are so many people in this life who are building with all kind of materials. I mean, they're building with whatever, you know, hoping that somehow it'll stand the test of time. You know, if somebody does not have Jesus as their foundation, I don't care what the materials are. In the end, the house is going to collapse. You know? I mean, they may have, you know, if they live a long, full life and live to be 100, 110, you know, I'll even extend it. What if they made it to 120? And they just built and built and built and built and built, but they didn't build on Jesus. What's the end of the house going to be? It's going to be separation from Father and separation from Jesus. And so it don't matter if you have 120 years that you think are pretty good, that does not compare with timelessness in eternity. Amen. And so, I want to talk a little more about some things in these verses. So, of course, in verse 26, the person who does not trust Christ, they don't apply the teaching to their life. But they still build the house. That's what I was just talking about. They still build the house. But they build on sand. Sand. There's nothing worse you could build a house on than thick, deep sand. There's nothing worse. I mean, you know. Have you ever noticed, no matter where you're at on the sand, if it's thick and deep, it's pretty much the same. It's going to sink, it's going to press, it's going to move. You know? Yeah. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You got great materials. You can build the best. You know, you can really, you know, do the best you can, but it's still going to fall whenever it gets under any pressure and stress. You know, back to that song we were talking about. You know, there's pressing. There's pressing. And it takes pressure to build new wine, but you can't really get the new wine out of it if you're not on the right foundation. Yeah, and you can't get the new wine out of it if your house is always cracking and falling apart because you're on the sand. So there's just no way that just doesn't work. But I want to talk just a little bit more about these environmental conditions is what we'll call it. Okay, so when the rains come and the flood, I really believe that... I want to get into that more in just a moment. So let's back up just a second, because I believe this will tie in better in just a minute. And sometimes I follow my notes, sometimes I don't. Thank you for going with me either way. But I want to talk just a teeny bit more about the materials at this point. Let's talk a little more about the materials list. You know, our personality. You know, God gave you a personality. He did. He gave you habits. I mean, some of those you picked and chose. But, you know, God gave you things that you're, you know, tendencies that you lean towards or things that you like and things you dislike. You know, our character is a result of a lot of different things, but God gave you a base character to start working with. He did. And a lot of that actually came through our lineage, through our bloodline, through our family. You know, we got a lot of mom and dad's tendencies and genes and things. I met my father the first time when I was 27 years old. I never knew who he was. I won't get into a lot of the story with that, but I was raised by a single mom, me and my sister, and then at 9 years old, this man came into our house who had just got out of prison, and my mama told me he was my dad, which he was not, which after all that was over, I was glad because, and I don't mind saying this, the man was a jerk. No, he was terrible. I mean, he beat my mom and my sister and would be rough with me, and he was just a jerk. But that was my first father figure in my house, was a lifetime criminal who was a jerk. And my mom was afraid, so she said he was my dad. And so that was, you know, so anyway. Yeah, I stand up here and preach, but I'm going to tell you, it ain't been all, you know, roses and daisies. You know, and I know it hadn't been for you either. All of us have got a story. All of us have got a story. But the reason I went there is when I finally did meet my real father, the only reason that he met me was because he was dying with cancer, and he felt guilty. After 27 years, he felt guilty enough to contact me. And when he contacted me, I was, man, on fire for Jesus. And he met me, and boy, I was hugging him, and, hey, man, I love you, and Jesus does too. He's like, whoa! too much. And he said, how can you forgive me? I remember we were in a car ride, and he said, how can you forgive me? I said, it's easy. He said, how can it be easy? I said, because Jesus forgave me a whole lot. I said, so I can forgive you. And I remember when he went back home and spoke with his parents. You know, they were still alive at that time. He said, I can't hardly be around that boy. See, that's what unconditional love does. If you really, really understand who your Lord is,
that's right.
It's easy to reach out and share love, isn't it?
Yeah.
He gives us so much more than we'll ever give to somebody else. I don't care what they've done.
That's right.
But so I met him at 27. And long story, I won't continue much further, but when I met him, I also met one of my half-brothers. Him and I talked for 8 hours straight. I led him to Christ at the end of that time. That was the first time, the first meeting of my half-brother. We sat there for 8 hours, and at the end, he prayed, trusted Christ. He was demon-possessed, got delivered in the meeting. Everything went great. Christ broke through. It was amazing. It was just wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was fun, too, man. But then, guess what? He was with my dad when he died a few months later, and he led my father to Christ on his deathbed. Yeah. Praise God. That's right. Yeah. Praise God. You know, I didn't meet him, and then, you know, he's dying, and isn't God like that, though?
Yeah.
You know, there are no chance meetings in your life.
That's right.
Yeah, you better milk it, church. You milk those moments. Jesus gave them to you. Make the most of them. Praise God. Amen. But the thing I'm getting to, that was a relevant story, too, but the thing I'm getting to is when we went out to eat, the first time I went out to eat with my father, we were sitting there at this restaurant. And I think Cheryl, I don't remember if Cheryl noticed it first. He and I we never met in our life. We were sitting exactly the same way at the table. We didn't realize it. Same posture, same facial expression, same. And we even ordered, I think, the same thing on the menu or something almost the same. We were both talking. We both liked the same food. I never met him in 27 years. But that shows you things pass through that bloodline, don't they? DNA. And the Bible teaches that clearly. But you get a lot of your building materials you didn't choose. Guess what? God chose them for you. He put you in your family. You know, He put you there. He blessed you with your family. And you may think, well, you don't know my family. I don't have to know your family.
Yeah.
You don't have to know my family.
That's right.
You know, I came from a high level of dysfunction, church. But guess what? That was God's best for me.
That's right.
If you came from a messed up home, guess what? That was God's best for you because there were things that family put in your life that God needed to work with to make you who He wanted you to be. Yeah, you need to see it that way, church. Don't ever go, woe is me. Oh, if only I had a different home. Yeah, if you had a different home, you wouldn't be the person God wanted you to be today. So, you know, we got to, like I said, back to this. We got to see Jesus. You know, I love, you know, Joyce Meyer. I love that lady's ministry. You know, and I like her testimony. Her testimony is her father sexually assaulted her and abused her over 200 times.
Yeah.
Did it stop her?
No.
Did it slow her down?
No.
Temporarily a little bit, but boy, when she got her footing, she took off, didn't she?
That's right.
Same for us, church. All right, so let's keep going. I just want to kind of get into materials a little bit. We get a lot of those from our family of origin, a whole lot of those. But we also get, as Christians, we get a lot of building materials from the Bible. I mean, we read the Word, we see what God says, we integrate those truths into our life, and that's actually, those are the best materials we're going to get, is the ones God gives us directly. The next best materials are the ones in our life that we yield to Him, and He fixes them, repairs them, and strengthens them. You know, like we go in there with something that's off, and we say, Lord, this is a mess. I can't do nothing with it. I invite you in here. He gets in there in that same spot. He may pull out that rotted board and put a new one in that same spot. And all of a sudden that attitude's different.
Yeah.
You know, that perspective's different. There's grace where there used to be meanness.
Right.
You know, and those materials are, they're as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Right. One other source of materials is personal revelation. I shared this earlier on in the service. Yeah. You know, when God speaks something into your life, hang on to it.
Yeah.
Don't let it go. Please, hang on to His Word. I mean, and when I say His Word, that can be His written Word or His spoken Word.
Yeah.
Okay? Either one. You hang on to those things, and man, you treasure them. You cherish them. You talk to Jesus a lot about them because those are good materials.
That's right.
Good materials. Now, since we touched that, I want to talk a little just a little bit more about these environmental conditions that we talked about. And I believe I have them on here. Yeah. I believe these environmental conditions here, I personally believe they represent life's hardships. I think this list that we're talking about here, because if you notice, the person who trusts Christ, the Christian who trusts Christ and is doing the best they can, has the same thing that the person who does not trust Christ nor apply the word, same thing happens. You know, all of us, Christian, non-Christian, we deal with stuff, don't we?
Yeah.
Man, all of us have hardship. But let's get a little more specific. This is what I really believe these things mean. I believe the rains are depression, trials are disappointments. You know, just kind of that steady trickle, that steady drip. Okay? I believe a flood. I believe that that's symbolic of when we're overwhelmed, when life just tries to sweep us off our feet. You know? Significant events. Those are big events. You lose a loved one. You lose a close friend. You may lose a spouse. I mean, you may lose a child. You know, I'm talking about big events. Those are like a flood moment where you just, whoa, I was fine. The next thing I know, my life is just, I'm swept away. It's a big deal. You know, traumatic events. And fierce winds, I believe that represents demonic opposition. Because actually, if we look at it like the Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. You know, and he's talking about fierce winds here. I believe he's talking about the enemy, the enemy's opposition against us in our life. It happens to all of us. All this happens to all of us. But the thing is when we have Jesus as our foundation and we're consistently trying to build with good materials, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. But I also want to look, the Bible actually, I love the scripture's awesome because it actually breaks our materials into two lists. According to the Bible, there's only two materials lists that we build with. Isn't that great? I know I got your curiosity up. There's only two materials lists. Period, church. You ready? Here we go. Let's look at these material lists. 1 Corinthians 3:9-12. It says, "For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace given to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder." That's whenever Paul shared the gospel with them. It says, "Now others are building on it." It's neat because others are building on it. We, you know, we build ourselves with materials, but you know other people around us that we let speak into our life, they're building too, aren't they? They're adding materials. We get materials from those close to us. So we get materials from several places. All right. So let's pick up right here. It says that whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Church, we got to be careful. "For no one can lay any foundation other than that, the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. And here's your materials list, church, in 12. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. Here's the first materials list. You can use gold, silver, or jewels, or you can use wood, hay, and straw." There's your two lists. Isn't that interesting? The Bible gives us two lists. And you know, everything that we can build with can fit into one of these two lists. Everything. Everything we build with. You may think, well, wait a minute. You know, everything God puts into our life, every revelation He gives us, every good thing that comes into our life fits into gold, silver, and jewels. Everything. Every time you study the Word of God and that scripture jumps out, guess what? You just got some gold. You just got some gold. And guess what? When you're out here doing what you want to do, kind of doing your own thing and saying, "Jesus, I'll check in later." You're doing nothing but adding wood, hay, and straw to your life. One of those. All right? And it's going to get clearer. The materials list is going to get clearer as we go. All right? So church, share something, just a thought for you as we continue. What are you building with? I mean, most of the time, what are you building your life with? Are you building with the gold and the silver and the jewels? Are you really trying to walk with the Lord and implement His word? And whenever He speaks to you, you're trying to integrate it into, you know, somewhere in your life, or whenever that nasty attitude surfaces, are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with saying, "Lord, I yield this to Your Lordship. Put something better there." And when somebody speaks into your life and speaks that wonderful word of encouragement, are you grabbing on to it and say, "Yes, I receive that in Jesus' name"? Yeah. Or are you kind of doing your own thing? We're going to talk a little more about what the wood, hay, and straw looks like. And I think it's really interesting, too, because, you know, the day of judgment, and we're not going all into this, but there's actually two judgments in Revelation. There's the white throne judgment, which no Christian will be at. That's only for non-believers, okay? And I would imagine the angels that were cast out of heaven as well will be part of that. But then there's the judgment seat of Christ, which is us. And that's just to get rewards. That's not to get punishment. That's to get rewards, church. Isn't that good? We go to judgment to be rewarded for what we've done in this life in our body and how we've walked and what we've accomplished for the Lord. But you know, it says we, our stuff will, our actions and our things will be revealed by fire.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay, that brings another perspective on the materials list. So what does fire do to gold, silver, and jewels?
Finds.
That's right. It don't do nothing to jewels. No. And the thing is, silver, it makes purer. Gold, it makes pure. So guess what? Every good building material that the Lord put in your life, whether it came directly from Him, through your family, through somebody else, when you get to heaven and it's real, be like, oh, that's even more pure than I thought.
Yeah.
You with me?
Thank you, Lord.
But all of our own things, our selfish things, whatever we do, just doing our thing.
Uh-huh.
When the fire comes up, guess what? It's going to cook. It's going to burn.
Yeah.
Wood, hay, and straw, all that burns. That's how I broke it into two categories. You know, fire really reveals the categories pretty clearly here, doesn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But you know, God gave us so much stuff, church. He gave us a special personality. He gave us qualities and strengths. He gave us beautiful gifts. I mean, in our mother's womb, the Holy Spirit actually fashioned us. He handcrafted us in our mother's womb with special abilities, giftings, and a call. You know, we were called from our mother's womb. It doesn't matter when we trusted Christ. He was calling you from the time you were conceived. It says, I knew you before you were born. Praise God. So, you know, I want to kind of just talk a little more about where we get some of these materials from before we get into a little more definition. You know, we get materials from our friends, from our family members, from our experiences, from our education, from social and cultural influences. You know, we get materials. You know, the gateway, our culture here is much more solid than it was, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
But we're building a unique, special culture here.
Yeah.
And that culture, actually, as you're part of that and enjoying the health and the benefits of that, guess what? That is adding some structural materials to your life.
Yes.
In other words, that is giving you new, healthy ways of doing things, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's building materials. That's building materials. You know, we get good and bad materials, too, from people around us, church. We do. We get good and bad stuff from people around us. And it isn't that their heart's always wrong. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the people around us genuinely think they're being a blessing. Well, they are or not. Most people really believe they're being a blessing to us.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing the best they can with what they've got. You know, and sometimes there's just areas in their life they don't have a victory in, and they're sharing out of that. And they don't realize that that lack of victory is hurting you.
Yeah.
But it just happens. It happens. But you know, it's not easy to tell the difference. You know, when you're receiving stuff, sometimes it's not easy to tell the difference. You know, you may think, well, that person loves me, so this must be good for me. Yeah. But you know, and it's very much like this right here. Okay? Here's our life. It's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The flowers are blooming, sun's out. I mean, it's pretty. Yeah, it looks maybe a little cloudy, but it don't matter. Everything's green and pretty.
Yeah.
And that's what we think often, church. We're like, you know, hallelujah, that person spoke in. I'll take it. I'll take that. Oh, glory. I'm moving. And Lord, everything's perfect. We always think everything's perfect until it's not.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? And that's the way we are. We have our life. We're like, man, hallelujah, glory, this is good.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Something happens.
Uh-huh.
It's like, whoa, what happened? What happened? Everything was green and glorious and beautiful, and now all of a sudden I'm in a storm.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened? When we get in a difficult situation or the pressure gets turned up, that is when you see the faulty materials, church.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you see the stuff that's not good and strong is whenever it's under pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
When everything's easy going and you're coasting along, everything looks good.
Yeah.
All the materials are beautiful. But as soon as something somebody just messes you up or the finances don't work or you get a serious sickness or something, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was doing great. Man, where did that come from?
Yeah.
My gosh. And you know, I really believe, Lord, that the Lord, those are the most important moments in our life. It isn't when everything's going great. It's whenever things aren't going great. You with me? Those are the moments right there that you and Jesus grow together. Those are the moments when you step up in anointing and grace. Those are the moments when you step up in effectiveness. You know, the only way to get experience with God is to get experience with God. There ain't no shortcuts to that. You know, there ain't no shortcuts, you know. You don't just go to Bible college and spend 2 years. You trust Christ, go to Bible college 2 years and come out, and you're the answer to humanity. It don't work like that. No. I see a lot of smiles. It doesn't work like that. Okay, even if you choose to go 4 years and get out, even if you double that, guess what? You still ain't the answer to humanity. Yeah, you got some knowledge and a little bit of learning, and you actually have 4 years of experience. You know? But, you know, there are no shortcuts. Jesus is working with that. If you go to Bible college, praise God. If you don't, praise God. You and Jesus have to work it out, walk it out, and sort it out. And when you do that, that's where the word's going to become real. It's going to become real. You know, it's like Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. Until the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, there was no victory for us. Right. You know that? He had to come and go through what He went through for us to be saved. He's still the same Word, but He had to be tried and tested and proven. And then He became Savior. So let's talk a little more about just about a few things that reveal the materials. Have you ever ran into somebody that you didn't want to run into?
Yeah.
Look, I got hands on this. Woo! Whoa. I didn't realize I was going to touch quite as big of a nerve with that one. You come around the corner and you're like, oh, what a great day. Can I hide? I can't. It's a trap. And you go over there. Then you go over there and you're like, oh, hey, it's great to see you. And you're lying. You're lying. I'm sorry. We're laughing, but it's the truth. And then we're like, oh, hey, how are you? And you have this moment. Guess what? That exposed faulty material in your life. It's nothing to do with them.
Right.
Remember, church, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
That's right.
They're not our problem. No other person is ever your problem.
That's right.
If anything surfaces in you other than grace and kindness, yeah, you need to visit with Jesus soon.
Yeah. Right.
And look at whatever that material was.
Yeah.
Okay. But see, those are the things. How else are we going to see what we need to work on, church? I mean, what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to just hide in the corner and pray with Jesus and Him just say, okay, let's work on this thing. Okay, let's work on that tomorrow. Okay, let's work on it. No, He doesn't do that. No. No, what He does, He calls you to walk around that corner and see that person that rubs you wrong.
Yeah.
You know, He makes sure that for whatever reason, you can't do it on your own in this spot.
Yeah.
He makes sure that, you know, that whatever is going on in your life, you just don't quite have enough in your own strength to cut the mustard.
Yeah.
And every time that happens, it reveals something. It reveals something. And that's the purpose of that. You know, God uses natural things to train us, church.
Yeah,
I mean, this is Bible.
Yeah.
Yes, He prospers us. Yes, He heals us. Yes, He blesses us. He does everything that He promises. But I'm going to tell you what. He does a lot of that through difficulty and through hardship. I'm not saying He sends all of it. He doesn't have to send at church. We walk out the door and get all we want.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Life is like that.
You're right.
You know? Man, we could talk a long time. I'm going to speed up a little bit. Do you realize that sin, the result of sin from the time Adam and Eve fell in the garden, sin has twisted and perverted this world to the point to where, you know, you don't have to look for stress. You don't have to look for issues. You don't have to look for problems. You just get up with a good attitude and you're going to run into something from time to time.
Yes.
You know? And every time you run into it, that is a God moment for you to see that faulty material, partner with the general contractor Jesus, and pull that stuff out and put something that's gold, either gold, silver, or a jewel in that spot in your life. So I'm going to share one testimony. I've shared this one time before, but I'm going to share it again. One of the best moments in my life, whenever somebody spoke good materials into my life, was in the mid-90s. We were a part of a church, really large church, probably 750 at that time. And we'd just been going to church a brief time. We were part of a life group. It was a home group, but we use life groups here because that sounds way cooler and it's more special. But we were part of just what you call just a regular God-loving home group at that point. But so me and Cheryl, I'm this strapping young Christian, you know, on fire for Jesus, and pretty much a pain in the butt. And so I go to this home group, and this gentle mountain man, I mean, just this guy, such a kind-hearted, loving man, loves Jesus, loves people. He's so soft-spoken and just a kind-hearted gentleman. And here comes type A go-getter Dana into his nice, caring home group. And so he would share stuff, and I would of course clarify, because there were things he was leaving out. So I would clarify things which I'm sure he just accidentally forgot to say. And then I would actually take people off to the side after the meeting and pray with them, because, you know, of course they didn't get their needs met by him. You go ahead and laugh with me, church. You laugh. Because the thing is, I'm not the only one. You guys, you may not have done it like this, but you've done it somewhere.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm not the only one who did that. And then I would be prophesying off on the side, you know, take them off the side and share the word of the Lord. And I thought I was helping.
Yeah.
Because really, you know, we think we're right till we're not.
Yeah.
And I thought I was right. And I still remember that brother calling me on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And he calls me one evening, and I'm like, seriously, I thought promotion, buddy. I thought he's calling me to, you know, I'm going to get promotion. How foolish can we be? God help us. So he calls me and he says, and I can't even do this without doing it. His language, he's just a mountain guy. He said, Dana, we got to talk. And I said, great, I would love to talk. I thought we were going to, you know, it's going to be a promotion time. And so he said, I said, well, when would you like to come over? He said, well, I'd come over this afternoon. I said, great. So he comes over. We actually walk outside, and we had a two-story house and had kind of a deck. We walk up under the edge of the deck. I still remember what we talked. And I said, Mike, what you want to talk about? And he said, Dana. And he didn't beat around the bush. When it came out, it came out. I'm sure I had adequately rubbed him wrong. When he brought it to Dana, he said, I just want you to know that you're not to pray for anyone in that group. You're not to prophesy for it to anyone in that group. You're not to interrupt me in that group. You're not to do anything in that group unless I say you can. And I looked at him and I said, okay. I said, I will pray on that and get back to you. I went in the house. I don't even think I got one whole word out of my mouth. I was like, Lord, and the Holy Spirit just like, he's right. You boom. I mean, just, I was like, ooh, okay. Yep. And I called him back the next morning. I said, Mike, I said, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I said, I will do exactly what you said, and I'll do nothing but help you and support you and your wife in that group. And you let me know if I can do anything else, but that's all I'm going to do. And you know what he told me? He said, great, now we can get something done.
Wow.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Praise God. And guess what? We started serving and loving and helping them. And it was only like a few months later we had our own home group, and that multiplied buku times. And yeah, God blessed. But the thing is he loved me too much to leave me alone. And he spoke into my life what I needed to hear. And guess what? That was actually a really serious remodeling project that happened within a few hours. But there was some bad stuff in me. So, church, you know, if somebody comes up to you, and I'm not saying we're not to show up and constantly try to pick people apart. That is not what God called us to do. But if you're in close relationship, you love somebody, you genuinely care, and you can speak a word of encouragement or something in their life, hey, you know, if Jesus is there, if you're the one hearing it and Jesus is there, do what needs to be done. If somebody's trying to pick you apart and you don't see Jesus there, let it fall to the ground.
Yeah.
Because we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is one of my best memories of somebody caring for me. Mm-hmm. As he called me on the carpet.
Yeah.
And me and him and Jesus moved out of that place in victory. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right. So just a couple things, a couple other indicators is whenever you feel like life's pressing you down, when you just feel so much pressure, do you keep attached to your hope? In other words, what the things God's promised you, do you see those? Do you keep looking at those? Do you keep praying about those whenever your life's just not working? When things are tough, if you don't keep praying and seeking Jesus and keep moving when the pressure's turned up, you need to pause for a minute and say, Lord, why? What's going on here? Connect with Him there. Another thing is, when you're confused, when you don't know what to do, does faith rise up and wait on the Lord? Does your faith rise up and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to move from this place until you tell me something, or at least until I feel something or sense something, or somebody shares something that registers with me? Or do you just drive on ahead, push through it, and fight through it? We have to wait on the Lord sometimes, church. And God will speak through people. I've been confused and had somebody share one thing with me, and the word Lord came through their mouth, and they had no clue. He does that. I've had Him speak to me through non-Christians often. Seriously, do you think He can't do that? Yeah, He can. He's amazing. Okay. So we're going to go just a little bit more. Because really, just kind of to summarize, when anything that's uncomfortable or unexpected happens in your life, pay careful attention how you respond in those first moments. See what rises up. See what responds to that tough place. That's where you'll see it most often, is in that first tough interaction, or that right when that hard event happens, or when the pressure's first turned up. Whatever rises up in response to that event often will be the material that you might need to work on. Okay. But see, that's what salvation's about, church. And a lot of this is review, but you'll see, as long as I minister, you'll see things connect. The thing is, we have the event of salvation, which is the moment we trust Christ. We also have the process of salvation, which is the day-to-day setting apart of parts of our life, i.e., pulling out old material, putting in new materials, until we reach holiness. That's what the second type of salvation is. It's that day-to-day sanctification process. But that's really what it's about as Christians. It's about every day partnering with Jesus. It's about when something rises up in us that's not the best, we deal with it. We work through it. We sort through it. And that's very much what the Bible's talking about in Joel. This is really what's going on in our life right here. Okay? This is Joel 2:25. The Lord says, I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Where'd the army come from? You got to understand, the events just happen. God doesn't send bad stuff to us. I'm not saying He sends bad stuff to us. They just happen. But I'm going to tell you, whenever we get in that tough spot, the locust, the thing that reveals the faulty material, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He might not have sent it, but He's going to make the most of it. Amen. And so that's really what salvation's about now, after you've trusted Christ, is things being revealed, us working on it. So I'm going to break it. Let's just look at this really quick. I actually broke down what I believe the meaning of these different types of locusts are. Swarming locusts, sudden disappearance. That's those flood events. That's those big things. Those things that just slap you upside the head out of nowhere. Okay? All of us have had some of those events. Jesus wants to restore that. He wants to make up for that. The creeping locust. These are young, small locusts, small bites. They just nibble away at your life a little bit over time. Amen. I actually took the actual meaning after I did the research, and I kind of made it into modern language. Okay, they take their time. They just hang around eating as long as there's food. How many of you have things in your life that are like that? Just this little ongoing thing that just keeps nibbling, keeps eating away at you. This unresolved issue, this hurt that you haven't really been able to deal with. You're walking in unforgiveness because somebody really hurt you. And what that does is that eats away at your life little by little, doesn't it, over time. Right. Stripping locust. That which slowly and steadily eats away to ravage. Ravage implies violent, awful, and often cumulative depredation and destruction. Something just wears you out, like something that's just a huge drain consistently over a long period of time. Yeah, how many of us have had things in our life that did that? And then last was the gnawing locust. It means to pull in pieces, devour, feeling like your life's falling apart. But you see, this is life, church. I'm talking, you know, life has a lot of good. I'm not being pleased. This isn't a negative word. Life is full of good, glorious events. It's wonderful. But I want you to say, you know, when something tough happens, it feels like one of these things right here. But see, these are the things that God's restoring. He's making us up for that. He's restoring up to us. And that's our day-to-day salvation. He's restoring the damage. He's restoring the materials. He's healing the hurts. He's giving you those victories that you didn't have. That's what he's doing, church. But you know, we wouldn't see him if we didn't have something nibbling on us, would we? Amen. God's faithful. He is so faithful. Another thing really interesting before we move into something else is, what will locusts eat? Well, a locust eat gold, silver, or jewels?
No.
Oh, what do you know? They eat list number two. Wood, hay, and straw. So these things right here, they may chew on the gold for a second, but they can't stay there. They can't do nothing with that. But they can eat on those things that need to be changed. Praise God. All right, and I love this. The Lord says through the prophet Zechariah, says, come back to the place of safety. All you prisoners who still have hope, I promise you this very day that I will pay you two blessings for each of your troubles. God is a God of multiplication. He is. God never, if God ever reveals something faulty and you partner with him and remove it and let him in that spot, guess what? He never gives you only something equivalent to what he took. He always gives you a double portion, a triple portion. He always gives you tenfold. Whatever he does in your life is always going to be bigger than what you gave up. Always bigger. Always bigger. How many of you would like to have two blessings for one trouble? Praise God. Amen. So, you know, the message has a pleasant ending. God is faithful. He's making up for those years. He's making up for those struggles. He's making up for those things. He loves us, church. He loves us so much. You know, in the process of your life, if anything other than something beautiful surfaces, and that could be love, kindness, grace, compassion, empathy, whatever the need is, if anything other than that surfaces whenever you're interacting with someone, whenever, you know, something happens in your life, anything other than that responds, please take a second and talk to Jesus. You know, because the enemy, he pushes us. He wants us. Okay, here's one of my biggest guidelines. I'll just share it. It's, you know, it's kind of simplified. Anytime I see an emotional response respond to anything, that's a check. You with me? Anytime there's a strong emotion response to anything, I'm like, whoa, what was that? Because if there's a strong emotion attached, and it's not empathy, compassion, love, and grace, because those are emotional too. But if there's anything other than that, but it's got this kind of this left field emotion, like, whoa, there's anger, fear, hostility, uncertainty, regret, guilt. If anything like that rises, that is an immediate red flag that there's something off in my life that Jesus needs to repair. So keep that in mind. If any big emotion rises up in you, you need to look at it for a minute and make sure that it's a good emotion. Because if it's not a good emotion, you'll know. You'll know what it is. That's one of my big cues or flags. So, one other thing is, please don't rebuke the locust. Don't start binding, casting, or rebuking the locust. I'm serious, man. If something surfaces in your life and it's tough and it's a hard spot, don't start rebuking, binding, and casting and get defensive and say, hallelujah, I ain't changing. That's what people do. As soon as you start binding, loosening, and casting, what you've done is you're starting to dig your heels in and you're not letting nothing mess with nothing in here.
Yeah.
So be careful. If you see something going on, go there with Jesus. It's safe and it's okay. If it needs to be worked on, you'll know. And if it doesn't need to be worked on, you'll know. Okay, church, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for Lord, that you don't cause anything bad to happen to us, God. But when we're in tough places, God, thank you for revealing things, Lord, that help us be more like you. God, we love you. God, we love you dearly. Thank you so much for your kindness in our life. God, help us to quickly partner with you, Lord, in whatever's going on in our life. Keep our eyes on you, Lord. Keep speaking faith. Hang on to our hope, Lord, tenaciously. And Lord, trust you as things sort out and we get victory. In Jesus' name, amen.